أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين الذين ينفقون أموالهم بالليل والنهار سرا وعلانية فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون.
Those who spend their wealth by night and day, secretly and openly, have their reward with their Lord. On them shall come no fear, nor shall they grieve. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the Ahmadiyya community, in accordance with this command of Allah the Almighty, excels in making financial sacrifices. The community has various compulsory chandas, such as Chanda Aam, Chanda Vasiyat, etc. Additionally, there are the schemes of Tahreek-e-Jadeed and Waqf-e-Jadeed. Wherever the need arises, members of the Ahmadiyya community excel in making financial sacrifices with sincerity and devotion. They offer these sacrifices secretly as well as openly, without any fear of encountering financial difficulties. In this day and age, whereas the world is engulfed in seeking worldly pleasures and accumulating wealth, it is Ahmadis who excel in making financial sacrifices and express their joy in doing so. There are some who offer sacrifices secretly and they do not wish for their sacrifices to be announced. The majority amongst the Ahmadiyya community is with a lower income and consists of those who earn the average wage. However, as I mentioned, there are people who make extraordinary sacrifices. They never mention that the community has introduced so many financial schemes that their income is limited and how they are going to contribute towards them. On the contrary, they offer sacrifices with a fervor and passion. I know that there are some people who make large sacrifices. In fact, it should be said that they offer these sacrifices by going hungry, reducing their meals, and reducing their spending on their children. Despite this, this thought never crossed their mind or they never expressed that this is the state of their sacrifices, why such a burden is being placed on them, and that they also need for such and such purposes. And that as they are now in need, the Jamaat should assist them as well. They never seek any favor. Even at times of need, they are extremely hesitant and humble in expressing their desires, and even that in the form of a loan. Some people have also adopted this method for offering sacrifices, that they make a box for financial sacrifices. And they place something in it every year, or whatever income they receive, or whenever they receive some money from somewhere. And at the end of the year, they make a contribution. When Hazrat Muslim Maud, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, initiated the scheme of Tahreek-e-Jadeed, he demanded a simple life and said, live a simple life, save your money and spend accordingly. As a result of this, some people lead a very simple life and make enormous contributions. Apparently, it seems that they would not be able to contribute such a large amount. However, they offer sacrifices of thousands of dollars, pounds or euros. In this materialistic world, making such sacrifices while living in these countries is truly remarkable. And in poor countries like Pakistan, India or African nations, where Ahmadis have very limited resources and people barely make ends meet, they continue to make sacrifices. They spend both openly and discreetly to seek Allah the Almighty's pleasure. They strive for this and think about it all the time. Just as the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated, day and night their only concern is how their beloved will be pleased. These are the true believers who earn Allah the Almighty's pleasure. There are some who, whenever any financial appeal is made or when Tahreek-e-Jadeed and Waqf-e-Jadeed are announced, contribute even by taking loans, although they are not required to do so. They harbor no fear, for they know that since they are spending in the way of Allah the Almighty, He Himself will fulfill their needs. Indeed, Allah the Almighty has blessed the Ahmadiyya community with people who make tremendous sacrifices. Unlike others who give 5 or 10 rupees and then have it announced in the mosque 100 times over. There are numerous instances before me where people eagerly come forward to offer sacrifices. This includes people from African countries, European countries, and Asian countries. The poor especially make enormous sacrifices in their contributions. Though their contributions may seem small in monetary terms, however, in the eyes of Allah the Almighty, they carry great weight. These are the people about whom the Holy Prophet ﷺ once said that 1 dirham would surpass 1,000 or even 100,000 dirhams. This spirit exists even among people living in distant poor countries, that by making financial sacrifices to earn Allah the Almighty's pleasure, He not only protects them from all kinds of fears, but also fulfills their needs. For instance, the Amir of Tanzania wrote about a new convert, Abdullah, who said he observed 2 benefits from giving contributions. Firstly, his sustenance increased afterwards, and secondly, whenever he conducts business in his shop, all his merchandise sells quickly, emptying his shop. He then brings new stock and his profits continue to grow. He says he believes all this is the result of making financial sacrifices in Allah's cause. There is a man from Kazakhstan named Zadanuf who always participates in financial sacrifices with great zeal and passion. He is a retired military man who receives only his pension. But as soon as he receives his pension, he comes to the community headquarters to make his financial contributions. He explains that God Almighty has so blessed my financial sacrifices that even log-jammed affairs are by God's hand resolved. This is the condition of his faith. He recounts that he had started constructing a building to serve as the headquarters of a certain business venture. Whatever savings I had, I invested it into this. And while the money became exhausted, the construction remained incomplete. I owned an apartment and thought that I would sell it and put the money into this project as well to see it to its completion. But I couldn't find anyone to buy the apartment. It was a hopeless situation. The last of the funds I had put into the construction was drying up. I was praying that somehow God Almighty might bless me so that I would be able to make good on the finances for this project. Finally, God Almighty sent a buyer who agreed to take it. The money that I got for the apartment, I put into the construction. Now, since I had sold the apartment, my dilemma was that I needed to find a home to live in. But it so happened that the same angel that God Almighty had sent to purchase the apartment told me not to worry, and that he was in no hurry to move in anytime soon, and said that I could stay in this house for one more year. In this way, Allah the Almighty fulfilled my need for a home and also facilitated the completion of my construction project. I believe that this is all due to the blessings of financial sacrifice and is the result of sacrificing for the sake of Allah the Almighty. Then, once more from the Kazakhstan Jamaat, an office bearer writes that there is a Lajna member named Bayowa Rosa Sahiba. She regularly participates in the Tahreek-e-Jadeed and Waqf-e-Jadeed scheme. One day, she made financial contributions to Tahreek-e-Jadeed and Waqf-e-Jadeed and requested prayers for her daughter that Allah the Almighty may grant her a good job. She also wrote a letter to me. These people have a very strong connection to Khilafat. I receive many letters from these people in Russia or the neighboring states. She says that when she offered her chanda, the very next day, her daughter got an excellent job, despite having tried many times previously to no avail. Thus, what came to pass was that in order to strengthen their belief, Allah the Almighty granted them such blessings and provisions that the employees tasked with hiring called her saying, "We are willing to offer you a job, come to work with us," and gave her an excellent job. She says, "This was a miracle for me, and I am in awe as to how quickly Allah the Almighty showered me with His blessings." Georgia is a country in Europe. There is a student in medical school there who says, our Jamaat had a meeting. The president of the Jamaat mentioned a student here who went above and beyond when participating in Tahreek-e-Jadeed. I thought to myself that I am a born Ahmadi, and the student previously mentioned took the oath of allegiance 4 years ago. Yet he has greatly exceeded in his financial sacrifice. I should also increase my pledge. I felt ashamed. Thus, I intended to increase my pledge. He then says that in the office bearer's meeting, so this I mentioned while he was emphasizing financial sacrifice as to how Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu would offer sacrifices. He would offer everything he had. He says upon hearing this example, greater fervor was created within my heart, and I thought that I should nonetheless increase my pledge, whether I had the capacity or not. I would offer this sacrifice. He says I increased my pledge so much that I became worried as to how I would fulfill it. For this reason, I began driving a taxi part-time. While being a student, I would also drive a taxi and gradually fulfill my pledge. He continues, I began to greatly enjoy this work because I was doing it in order to obtain Allah the Almighty's pleasure and in order to offer sacrifices for His sake. I was not doing it to fill my own stomach. He says, I sometimes face such conditions that I would not have enough money to fill petrol, so I would borrow it from my father and then go to work. Thereafter, returning the loan, I would also offer my contribution, and in this manner I began slowly fulfilling my pledge. He says, I finally fulfilled the pledge that I had no hope of fulfilling previously. Allah the Almighty created the provisions for my pledge to be fulfilled. The Sadr of the Rodgau Jamaat in Germany says that we fulfilled the targets that was given to us. They are constructing mosques there nowadays. The Qaid of Khudam Lamdiya said that we should collect more money, that the people here have more potential and a greater ability to offer financial contributions. Similarly, we should also increase our financial sacrifices for Tehreek-e-Jadid, as we have space to improve in this regard. He says from 2019 onwards, we began focusing on financial sacrifice. At the time, our financial contributions were a few thousand euros. Now it has increased so much that it has entered the hundreds of thousands, and people happily offer these sacrifices. A number of people were drawn to the scheme when some life devotees announced that they would donate 1 month's worth of allowance as financial sacrifice to the Jamaat. One fellow says, when I reflected over this, I was ashamed that a life devotee was giving his monthly income while I make much more money. So why can't I make such a big sacrifice? He says, thereafter I received a large sum of money and gave it as a financial contribution to the Jamaat. The next year, I increased my pledge and submitted it. Actually, I doubled it, or perhaps pledged even more than that. He continues, Allah the Almighty's grace manifested, and I began to receive excellent contracts and was blessed to be able to offer thousands of euros in chanda. Around 40,000 or 50,000 euros. This had another effect because he had a spiritual awakening and developed an eagerness to offer sacrifices for the sake of Allah the Almighty. He greatly reduced his personal expenses, became content with simple clothing, and began living a very simple life. He would go above and beyond when participating in financial sacrifices. The finance secretary says, we would be shocked that his outer appearance does not reflect the countless sacrifices he is making. I remember an old incident regarding this topic. There was a friend of ours in Karachi, a saintly person named Sheikh Majid Sahib. He would offer many financial sacrifices. After putting aside some money for his household expenses, he would go above and beyond in contributing to the various schemes. In the time of the fourth Caliph, rahimahullah ta'ala, he exceedingly contributed to the publication of the Holy Quran and various other schemes. He would often say that whatever job I do is for the sake of the Jamaat. Thus, Allah the Almighty has also produced individuals such as these in the Jamaat and continues to produce them. Those who solely earn so that the needs of the Jamaat may be fulfilled, not that they themselves amass wealth. The Wakil al-Mal of Qadian writes that there is a man from Kerala who states, I face very difficult times. I could not find any work. Finally, I thought to myself that even if there is no job, I can at least work as a tailor. I placed a table on the side of the road and began working. I also began regularly giving chanda. He would properly calculate and offer chanda. Whatever income he would earn, a lot of blessings were placed in it by the grace of Allah. And he says, now I contribute a large amount of money in chanda. My business has also expanded within 2 or 3 years. Whereas other people's businesses are impacted due to the economic conditions, Allah the Almighty continuously blessed his work and he was not impacted at all. These are the blessings of financial sacrifice. Some people say, one person works hard and Allah blesses his efforts, while we also work hard but don't see that level of blessing. However, if one's intention is pure, then God Almighty's blessings continue to increase. So this is the advantage that an Ahmadi enjoys. God Almighty accepts their sacrifice along with their prayers. And then the blessings of these sacrifices unfold. So this is his sacrifice. He goes on to recount that the sacrifice that I made in the way of Allah, the regular contributions that I used to make, resulted in my business being blessed. Other people's financial situations were deteriorating because of the economic situation these days, but I continue to reap the blessings. Now, he owns his own large shops. What was once nothing more than a small booth on the side of the footpath is now multiple large shops that he runs along with a showroom. And now his financial contributions are in the hundreds of thousands. Even this year, he has contributed 1 million rupees. A woman from Bangladesh writes, I'm a Waqfi and all. I make regular financial contributions and also listen to the Friday sermon regularly. God Almighty has blessed me with faith and I make financial contributions out of the stipend that I receive. God Almighty put so many blessings in this that it proved beyond my imagination. Similarly, a man named Ali from Syria writes that I am a new convert. When I made my first pledge for Tehreek-e-Jadeed, it was more than I could afford given my income. But I made a resolve in my heart to fulfill this pledge before the month of Ramadan. He had a simple job and wasn't on any contract. He was just doing voiceover dubs for cartoons. The man explains, I became worried about how I was going to fulfill this promise. Anyhow, he explains that with this concern in mind, he went to a manager of his one day and greeted him. The manager who was on the phone at that time indicated by way of hand that he was talking to someone and signaled that he returned later. So I went to sit in the cafeteria. There the company's finance officer came up to me and told me to work with him. He told me that the manager has instructed him to give me a certain amount of money. The statement for my paycheck hadn't even been prepared and the manager himself estimated my services and gave me this amount. And the amount proved sufficient for me to pay my Tehreek-e-Jadeed chanda. He also bid me not to tell anyone about this, that I was the only one getting this. This is how God Almighty helps people through His grace. There is a female student in Calgary who recounted her story of strengthening in faith in the following way. She recounts that everyone warned her that it was very difficult to find a job while studying. I prayed a lot and wrote my name amongst those in Safi Awwal of contributors to Tehreek-e-Jadeed, a promise of 1,000 or more Canadian dollars. She explains that because of my financial contribution, God Almighty blessed me so much that I ended up getting a job within 3 days and my semester was saved from going to waste. I also got the amount I needed to fulfill my pledge. People were astonished by this. Then there are also some poor countries of Africa. The missionary in charge of Guinea-Conakry writes, a local president of one of the chapters, there named by Abdullah Kamara, writes, I began making regular financial sacrifices as soon as I converted to Ahmadiyyat. The pledges that I had made this year were short by 40,000 franc. When the local muallim, after making an appeal for it, was about to leave, he mentioned how I was behind by this amount. I felt great embarrassment at this. So I came home, and the amount that I had intended to use for my expenditures, I spent in the way of God instead. He explains that the very next day, God Almighty returned that amount to me thusly. A man called me saying that some time ago, you had worked for me, and I left without giving you your dues, for which I am deeply sorry, and seek your forgiveness. So tell me, now what would you like? He says, I responded, at that time, you did not give me my dues. After all this time, now my situation is that I intend on purchasing a motorbike and I'm also building a home. I need the amount for these things. The man immediately made over the amount for all of this, even though I know that the amount that he made over to me was far higher than what he actually owed me. Hence, this is how God Almighty repaid me manifold. And I believe that this is the result of the blessings of my contributions. The missionary in charge of the Central African Republic reports, a man named Isa writes that there were many problems in my life. Things at home were bad too. I was thinking of requesting a loan from the Jamaat. One day I heard a speech on the Tehreek-e-Jadeed scheme and spending in the way of Allah, that whoever gives even a single penny or less in the way of God, God Almighty returns it to him 10 times. He says, I thought to myself, let me test this for myself. That very day I began contributing to the scheme as God would have it. A businessman from Turkey who worked in the diamond industry employed me in his company, and day by day my situation began to improve. Now, by the grace of God, I have constructed my own home and also purchased a new motorcycle. Before this, I did not even have enough funds to fix my old motorbike. Now, it is not that only people in poor countries see such blessings, but those possessed of true faith witness these blessings wherever they may be. Those who, with pure intentions, wish to make sacrifices for the sake of God Almighty, do make such sacrifices and then witness the rewards. God Almighty furnishes the means of granting further strength to the faith of such people, regardless of whether they live in wealthy or poor countries. He fortifies the strength of their faith. A secretary at Tehreek-e-Jadeed in America wrote about a young khadim from Dallas who receives lunch money from his parents at college. This young man thought, Allah has bestowed a great favor upon me that I can eat out every day. This money should be used for a better purpose. After contemplation, I decided to participate in Tehreek-e-Jadeed. He donated the money to Tehreek-e-Jadeed and sustained himself on basic cereals instead. He reports, by Allah's grace, my exam results improved significantly. I found peace in life. And since I started eating less, I feel a natural tranquility. I believe that when Allah the Almighty wishes to increase someone's faith, He does so, and I consider this the best decision of my life, turning my attention towards sacrifice for Allah the Almighty's sake. Then someone wrote about their sacrifice from Belgium. A lady wrote, I was searching for employment and had submitted applications to various places. My applications were consistently rejected due to a lack of experience. This is what she was told. As the fiscal year of Tehreek-e-Jadeed was ending, I thought that although I had fulfilled my pledge, perhaps if I made an additional sacrifice for Allah's sake, He might show His grace and help me overcome my difficulties. She says, I increased my contribution and gave an extra amount. Within just a few days, I received job offers from two places and got the position I had deeply desired, which was also just minutes away from my home. She says this was a divine sign for her. There are countless such incidents that Allah the Almighty manifests to strengthen people's faith. And when others learn of these experiences, it inspires a spirit of sacrifice in them as well. There are some people in the community who, as Allah the Almighty commands, make their sacrifices secretly. They insist that no one should know about their sacrifices. In fact, in one place, a secretary mal or missionary wrote, I opened the letterbox outside the mission house and found an envelope containing 1,000 euros marked as Tehreek-e-Jadeed contribution with no name or address provided. The secretary mal also wrote about someone who made a sacrifice of thousands and requested that their name not be revealed. They simply wanted the administration to know that they had contributed but insisted that there should be no announcement of their sacrifice. Allah the Almighty has blessed the community with such people who do not only make sacrifices but continue to increase in them. In Germany, some people made sacrifices of 50,000 euros each without ever revealing themselves, always striving to keep their names hidden. Such people exist in Africa, Europe, and America. This is Allah the Almighty's grace that in this materialistic world, as I mentioned, while everyone is pursuing their personal desires, Allah the Almighty has blessed the community with such sacrificing individuals who compete with each other in giving sacrifices. As Hazrat Muslim Maud said when initiating Tehreek-e-Jadeed, adopt a simple lifestyle, as I mentioned. There are many examples that even in this age, when the world is inclined towards show and ostentation, and people desire recognition and attention, there are examples of people living simple lives and discreetly making sacrifices. I have presented some of these examples. Countless such examples come before us. Today, as we know, is the announcement of the new year of Tehreek-e-Jadid. I will make the announcement today. Usually the announcement is made in the first week of the month, but since the first day of the month was last Friday, I'm announcing it on this second Friday. I've mentioned those who made sacrifices for this reason. It is Allah the Almighty's great favor that today in the world, only the Ahmadiyya community truly exemplifies the words, يُنفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ. Practically, they are making sacrifices day and night. And as I said, this series of sacrifices continues 24 hours a day. The Ahmadiyya community is spread across every region of the world. Today, the Ahmadiyya community is established in 220 countries, and everywhere we see examples of those who make sacrifices. At this moment, as I am delivering this sermon, it's night in some places and daytime in others, but everyone is listening to this sermon. And the Ahmadiyya community is presenting the sight of a united ummah. This is what distinguishes the Ahmadiyya community from others. This sacrifice and this desire to earn Allah's pleasure is what propels the community's progress. And as long as this condition remains among members of the community, Allah the Almighty will continue to bestow His favors upon the community, God willing. Most of the examples I've presented are either of new converts or youth. Allah the Almighty continues to instill this spirit in people even today. We should always remember that this era of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the era of spreading guidance, completing His mission, and spreading Islamic teachings in the world. That is why the Holy Prophet ﷺ informed us about the coming of the Messiah of his dispensation. Thus, Allah the Almighty established the community of the promised Messiah ﷺ in this era to complete the spread of the teachings and guidance that the Holy Prophet ﷺ brought. Therefore, if we continue doing this to earn Allah the Almighty's pleasure, He will continue to fulfill our needs. We will live our lives without any fear or grief. Allah the Almighty will deliver us from every fear, remove every sorrow, eliminate our difficulties, and fulfill our needs. This is what every Ahmadi should strive to achieve: earning Allah the Almighty's pleasure. This has been demonstrated in the examples of those Ahmadis who understand this and who have been showered with Allah the Almighty's blessings. Those who make these sacrifices are benefiting from the blessings of the work being done to spread Islam. Wherever people accept Ahmadiyyat or money is spent on community literature, preaching, or jamiat, all these expenses include these contributors in the reward. And Allah the Almighty continues to bestow His blessings upon them. I will now present some facts and figures for Tehreek-e-Jadid, as I usually mentioned. And through this, the situation will become clear. In the end, I will also present an extract of the promised Messiah ﷺ as well. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the 90th year of Tehreek-e-Jadid has concluded, and we have entered the 91st year. With regards to the years of Tehreek-e-Jadid, there ought to be some clarification that for daftar number 1, it is the 91st year. For daftar number 2, it is the 81st year. For daftar number 3, it is 60th year. For daftar number 4, it is the 40th year. For daftar number 5, it is the 21st year. A new daftar would be initiated every 19 years. And daftar number 6 was initiated last year. Now all the sincere individuals who will partake in Tehreek-e-Jadid will be included in daftar number 6, and also those who participated from last year. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, the community members had the opportunity to make a total sacrifice of £17.98 million. This is an increase of £779,000 from the previous year. This year, the Germany Jamaat attained first position. Amir Sahib, Germany was and is constantly worried that owing to the increase in Tahreek-e-Jadid contributions, other chandas would be affected. He ought to put his trust in Allah the Almighty. By sacrificing towards Tahreek-e-Jadid, Allah the Almighty will place blessings in the other chandas, God willing. May Allah the Almighty increase the Germany Jamaat in sincerity and loyalty. Despite the fluctuations in currencies, overall, the Jamaats increased in their sacrifices. Canada and USA always compete in the spirit of vie then with one another in good works. Last year, Canada excelled in collections and attained third position. This year, USA has attained second position. Rather, they attained third position and UK attained second place. Although there is a small difference between the two, if Canada put a bit more effort in, they can overtake them again. Nonetheless, the positions in terms of the overall collection is that Germany attained first position, followed by Britain in second, USA is third, Canada is fourth, then there is a Jamaat from the Middle East, India is sixth, Australia is seventh, Indonesia is eighth, another Jamaat from Middle East stood ninth, and Ghana was in 10th place. By the grace of Allah, there is a great increase in the collections per capita. In terms of contribution per capita, USA is first, Switzerland is second, UK is third, Canada is fourth, and Australia is fifth. There are some other Jamaats which are worthy of mention for their overall efforts, including Bangladesh, Nigeria, Holland, Austria, France, Switzerland, Ireland, and Jamaats in the Middle East. Despite the situation in Bangladesh and the unfavorable conditions, both politically and for the Jamaat, in fact, some Ahmadis are being arrested in charges for supporting and aiding the previous government, even though this is not the case. Opponents have also burnt houses of Ahmadis, and some Ahmadis' houses have been burnt down for the second time in 1 year. They are also beaten, but they have increased in their faith. May Allah the Almighty improve their conditions and increase them in their faith and sincerity. Pray also for the condition of Bangladesh. The notable positions for the countries in Africa for overall collection are as follows. Ghana is first, followed by Mauritius, then Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Tanzania, Benin, Gambia, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Uganda. These were the top 10 Jamaats. The total number of participants were 1,681,000. There are many reports that have not been received. The reports from certain areas of Burkina Faso were not received due to the declining conditions there. It was not possible to establish communications. Despite this, the number of people who presented a sacrifice rose by 50,000 compared to last year. Those who excelled in this regard are Nigeria, Congo, Brazzaville, Niger, Gambia, Congo, Kinshasa, Cameroon, Guinea-Conakry, Guinea-Bissau, Uganda, and Sierra Leone. The first 10 Jamaats of Germany are Rodgau, Rudermark, Osnabrück, Pinneberg, Nidda, Köln, Mahdiabad, Florzheim, Neuss, Weingarten. The position of the Emirates is as follows. First is Hamburg, then Frankfurt, Detzenbach, Grossgrau, Wiesbaden, Moorfelden, Waldorf, Rechstedt, Rüsselsheim, Darmstadt, and Mannheim. The top five regions in the UK are as follows. Islamabad is first, followed by Beit al-Futuh, Fazl Mosque, Midlands, and Beit al-Ihsan. The top 10 positions of the larger chapters of the UK are as follows. Worcester Park is first, Farnham is second, Islamabad is third, South Cheam, Walsall, Ash, Gillingham, Bradford North, Ewell, and Aldershot South. In terms of overall collection, the positions of the Jamaats in the USA are as follows. First is Maryland, North Virginia, Los Angeles, Seattle, Chicago, Detroit, South Virginia, Dallas, Silicon Valley, Oshkosh, North Jersey, Houston, and Central Jersey. With respect to overall collection, the positions of the local Amarats in Canada are as follows. Vaughan, Calgary, Peace Village, Brampton West, Vancouver, Toronto West, Brampton East, and Toronto. The positions of the Jamaats, first were Amarats, now it is Jamaats. Chapters of Canada are as follows. Hamilton Mountain is first, Hamilton West, Hadiq Ahmed, Hamilton, Bradford East, Ottawa West, Ottawa East, Montreal West, Regina, Montreal East, Markham, Lloydminster, and Sudbury. In terms of the overall collection in Pakistan, it is as follows. Lahore is first, second is Rabwa, and third is Karachi. Despite extremely inauspicious conditions, we see there is progress. Even though opposition is reaching new heights, yet the Jamaat members continue to offer sacrifices. Businesses are severely affected, as is employment. However, they are firm in their faith in that they continue to increase in their sacrifices. Many people who earned well have moved abroad. But despite this, they, the Ahmadis in Pakistan, have offered great sacrifices. May Allah the Almighty protect the Jamaat from the evil of the opponents and keep them safe. The sacrifices presented in the districts of Pakistan are as follows. First is Faisalabad, followed by Gujarat, Gujranwala, Sargodha, Umarkot, Hyderabad, Sialkot, Hafsabad, Kotli, Azad Kashmir, and Khushab. In terms of the overall collection, the positions of the local Jamaats in Pakistan are as follows. Darul Zikr Lahore, Allama Iqbal Town Lahore, Beit al-Fazl Faisalabad, Azizabad Karachi, Mughalpura Lahore, Gujranwala, Shahar Quetta, Lodhra, Rahim Yar Khan, Karim Nagar Faisalabad. The positions of the smaller Jamaats are as follows. Khokar Gharbi, Kot Sharif Abad, Chuinda, Sangar, Khariya, Badi, Pindi, Bhago, Darul Fazl Kunri, Khairpur, and Chakwal. The top 10 provinces in India are as follows. Kerala is first, then Tamil Nadu, Telangana, Odisha, Karnataka, Jammu Kashmir, Punjab, Bengal, Maharashtra, and Delhi. And the top 10 Jamaats are as follows. Hyderabad is first, Qadian is second, Calicut, Coimbatore, Manjari, Melapalam, Bangalore, Calcutta, Kerang, Karulai. The top 10 chapters of Australia are as follows. Melbourne, Longwarn, Marsden, Melbourne, Berwick, Perth, Penrith, Adelaide West, Melbourne Clyde, Melbourne East, Campbelltown, Canberra. May Allah the Almighty accept their sacrifices. The Promised Messiah Salatu Wasalam states, Chanda is not something which began with this movement. That is, I did not initiate the system of financial contributions. Rather, even in the time of prophets, financial contributions were collected during times of need. There was a time when merely an indication about financial contributions would result in people presenting all their household wealth. The Holy Prophet ﷺ said that one should give according to their capacity, and his intention was to observe how much each person brings. Abu Bakr brought forth and presented all his wealth, while Umar brought only half of his wealth. The Holy Prophet said, "This is the difference in your ranks." The Promised Messiah states, the companions were taught early on that لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. This verse emphasizes and refers to offering financial contributions and the dispersing of wealth. This is a covenant with Allah the Almighty which one should fulfill. Breaking this oath constitutes treachery. Then in one place, the Promised Messiah states, nothing can be accomplished by one person alone. There are blessings in collective assistance. Even great empires ultimately run on financial contributions. The only difference is that worldly empires forcibly impose taxes and collect them, while in this case, we leave it to one's willingness and intention. Offering financial contributions lead to an increase in faith, and it is an act of love and sincerity. Then in another place, the Promised Messiah gave glad tidings to the Jamaat, saying, rejoice, for the field of attaining nearness to Allah is vacant. Every nation is in love with the world, and the world pays no attention to that which pleases God. For those who wish to enter this door with full force, there is an opportunity to demonstrate their capabilities and gain the special favor of God. Do not think that God will let you go to waste. You are a seed that has been sown in the earth by God's hand. God the Almighty says that the seed will grow and flourish, and its branches will spread in every direction, becoming a great tree. So blessed is the one who believes in God's word and does not fear the trials that come along the way. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, people have understood this and continue to offer sacrifices, thereby attaining His blessings. May Allah the Almighty enable us to excel in our sacrifices according to the wishes of the Promised Messiah. Alongside our financial sacrifices, we should also strive to improve in our spirituality and strengthen our bond with Allah the Almighty. Not only in financial sacrifices, but in every situation, we should present that practical example which is reflective of a true Muslim. When this is achieved, we will, God willing, witness the progress of the Jamaat, and we will continue to see even greater success than before, God willing. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, we will continue to witness the blessings of Allah the Almighty and witness the enemy become unsuccessful and frustrated. May Allah the Almighty soon bring that day when we witness these times. May Allah the Almighty reward all those who have made financial sacrifices and bless their wealth and progenies. And may they always live their lives in the best possible manner. May their children and future generations become the delight of their eyes. May they continue to increase in their nearness to Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty make it so. After the prayers, I will lead two funeral prayers. One funeral is present, which is of respected Amina Chakmak Sahi Sahiba. She was the wife of the late Mubarak Sahi Sahib. She was of Turkish descent. She recently passed away at the age of 75. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, she was a Musia. She was from Istanbul, Turkey, and accepted Ahmadiyyat through Jalal Sham Sahib when he was studying there. It was upon having complete faith in the truthfulness of the Promised Messiah والسلام, that she wholeheartedly accepted Ahmadiyyat. She was a very pious lady. And herself wrote that she was the first Ahmadi woman in Istanbul. She initiated correspondence with Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, rahimahullah ta'ala, and continued to grow in faith and loyalty. When MTA began broadcasting, she seized the opportunity to inform her respected mother about her acceptance of Ahmadiyyat and invited her to do the same. After which her mother also accepted Ahmadiyyat. Then she also preached to her sister, the respected Sama Sahiba, wife of Mehmet Andar Sahib, and she took the Pledge of Allegiance. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, Ahmadiyyat then spread in this family. The deceased joined the Vasiyat scheme in 1990, thus becoming the first Turkish woman to join the Vasiyat scheme. Later, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV appointed her as the president of Lajna Turkey. In this way, she also had the honor of being the first president of Lajna in Turkey. When she watched MTA, she would desire to provide the Turkish translation. She expressed this desire, and in 1995, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV called her to the UK and entrusted her with this task, and she began translating into the Turkish language. In 1996, she dedicated her life in this way. She became the first Turkish woman to dedicate her life for the sake of Islam and Ahmadiyyat. A written statement from her has been found in which she writes, "I have pledged that I will work for Islam Ahmadiyyat until my last breath." By the grace of Allah the Almighty, she fulfilled this pledge in an excellent manner and continued to serve the Jamaat until her last day. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV facilitated the marriage of Amina Sahiba with Mubarak Sahih Sahib, a member of his security detail, after the demise of his first wife. Amina Sahiba honored this bond in an excellent manner and took care of his children as well. She also translated the Holy Quran in the Turkish language and translated other books and sermons of the Khulafa. Her brother-in-law, Mehmet Ondar Sahib, while mentioning her virtue, says she was an extremely generous lady. Her knowledge, cheerful disposition, and spirituality are particularly noteworthy. She was at the forefront in service of Islam and Ahmadiyyat. She would spend whatever money she had in her pocket in the way of the Jamaat. While living with her mother in Istanbul, she used her house for Jamaat programs. After her mother's demise, this house started being used as a mosque, and she gifted it to the Jamaat. She would regularly offer tahajjud prayers and recite the Holy Quran until the Fajr prayer. Despite her deteriorating health, she faithfully fulfilled her life devotion until her last breath. She would always say, "We have recognized and accepted the Imam Mahdi very late, so we have no time to waste. We must work extremely hard." She always maintained a relationship of loyalty with Khilafat and would say, "There is no need to trouble the Khalifa with personal problems. Instead, we should resolve them ourselves. May Allah the Almighty grant her forgiveness and mercy and elevate her station." The second funeral in absentia is of Mahmoud Ahmed Ayaz Sahib from Norway, who was the elder brother of Khwaja Masood Sahib, who is currently serving as Nazir Ishaat Rabwa. He recently passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. The deceased was a Musi and is survived by his wife and a son. He had the opportunity to serve the Jamaat at various times. He served for a very long time as the secretary of Muri Kharja in Norway. He also had the opportunity to serve as the acting emir of Norway at various times. He also had the opportunity to do waqf for a period of time in Rabwa. However, due to the circumstance in Norway, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV sent him back to serve in Norway. He had great knowledge of the literature of the Jamaat. During his early days at college, alongside various other books, he also completed the reading of the Tafsir-e-Kabir. In other words, he read it in his youth. He would regularly read the books of the Jamaat and also the Jamaat newspapers and magazines. His soul was filled with great love for Khilafat and had a strong bond with it. He possessed a very simple disposition and was very kind-hearted and a loyal individual. He would always ensure to pay his chandas on time and according to the prescribed rate. He had the good fortune of entering the scheme of Al-Wasiyyat as a student. He was regular in his prayers and fasting and would also observe his voluntary prayers. He fulfilled the rights of Allah in his creation. He was very humble, and among his notable qualities was his high level of dignity. He possessed in and out of purity. May Allah the Almighty grant him his forgiveness and mercy. This funeral will also be offered in absentia alongside the funeral.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله إبعاد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر